What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's December 1st, 2025. Yes, we are in the final month of the year 2025. Hard to believe it. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I know I had a good one myself. I still have one to go, actually. It got postponed because of the winter weather blast that we had here in the Midwest. But ate a lot of Thanksgiving food. Looking forward to eating some more. Looking forward to the holiday season, and hope everybody started their shopping either on Black Friday or today on Cyber Monday. I know I took advantage of some Cyber Monday deals, and I'm Tanner Lee. I should say that already. I don't know why I'm just going off a tangent. Josh, the J-Man month on my screen. J-Man, Cyber Monday shopper?
I need to be. I have yet to buy a single Christmas gift, and it is starting to creep up on me. It's been creeping up on me since October, so I probably need to do some shopping tonight online.
I'm more of a Cyber Monday guy than I am a Black Friday guy. I don't like shopping like in person in general unless there's something I absolutely want, need, get in, get out. I'm more of an online shopper, and I've learned from past mistakes to wait till the Cyber Monday deals come out. I've been bitten too many times by getting a deal online on Black Friday to only see yet a better deal come Cyber Monday. So.
Yeah. I don't remember the last time I bought something in a store for anyone, including myself. It's been years, I will say. Yeah.
I'm usually a shopper. Like if I'm going to get something, I know what I want. I'm in, out. I don't want to look for anything else. I want to get what I need. Get out of there.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, how was your Thanksgiving? Good?
It was good. It was good. I felt like I gained about 40 pounds over the weekend and starting to recover a little bit. I am exhausted, I'll tell you what.
It's one of those times you just don't want to get on the scale. I know even myself, I'm like, I'm not looking at the scale. I'm not, not doing it. Because it's that time where you're allowed to eat, to break the diet, whatever you want to call it. But I'm also tired myself. I stayed up late last night watching my football team give me more gray hair than I already had, spiking my blood pressure higher and higher like they have been each week, it seems like this season. But they keep finding ways to pull these games out. But, I mean, I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I mean, in the past, they don't win these close games. But I'm also like, when's the shoe going to drop?
Yeah.
So to speak, sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. they remind me a little bit of that Vikings team a few years ago that was like, 10-0 in like one score games or something, but they kept finding ways to get it done.
Yeah. And last night, I think it was more the offense found a way to get it done than the defense. Yeah. Defense struggled a little bit. I thought Washington had a good game plan. I thought Mariota looked decent. He's kind of tricky because of his running ability.
Yeah, he's a pretty good backup.
He is a good
honestly,
backup.
And honestly, I think he's probably every bit as good as Jaden Daniels. I think he's very overrated.
And I think Washington getting McLaren back helped a lot, and they just played a lot better than they had been. So, but just happy the Broncos got out there with a win and got a trip to Vegas this weekend. That should be a win, and then buckle up because the last four are right now against playoff teams. So
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But if you had told me at the start of the year they're going to be 10-2 at this point, I wouldn't have believed you. So,
yeah. I do have birdie bogey, and it is an NFL question.
All right.
There are six. How do I word this? I had the perfect wording earlier today, but of course, the lights come on and my mind goes blank. There are six wide receiver. There are six current quarterback wide receiver duos in the NFL. That were also wide receiver duos at college together, in college together.
So they're current. They're currently
current
together. So, and in the college, they were together.
Yes. Now these are starting quarterbacks only, like Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson do not count. I'll give you that one.
Okay.
Because he's not their current starting quarterback. But six current starting quarterbacks in the NFL are teammates with a wide receiver they were also teammates with in college. So,
ooh, I'm gonna have to start writing them down as I think of them.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine, casual atmosphere, great cocktails, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, let's see what they had over the weekend. And they didn't have any specials over. I honestly don't even know if they were open. I don't even know if they were open over the weekend. I think they were, but anyways, their special, their latest special on social media was the apple glazed bacon cheddar burger. I think we talked about that last week, but it looks great. You know, burger topped with apple butter, freshly sliced apples, cheddar cheese, candied bourbon bacon, and spring mix. So, with crispy beer batter fries. So, you can't go wrong with anything you get off the menu from Arlington Public House, whether it's a drink, main course, whatever you get's going to be good. Go check it out.
And I have to give my father credit for that trivia question, because a few weeks ago when I saw him, he had heard it somewhere.
Yeah, I've got one written down right now. I got five more to figure out. No. So
there's some obvious ones. There's also some less obvious ones. So I'm gonna say 4 for a par, all 6 for a birdie, obviously. But
all right, that's fair. I just thought of another one. Yeah, why you were talking? I just thought of another one. All right, we're out to 3, but knowing my luck, some of these are probably wrong. So, you know, the college football season, regular season, has come and gone. Donezo already. We know what teams are eligible for bowl games, if you care about bowl games anymore outside the college football playoff. But this week's conference championship week, and then Sunday is the reveal of all 12 teams. So next Monday at this time when we're doing the show for episode 473, we'll know what 12 teams are in. But that's not the main takeaway from college football right now. It's the coaching carousel. It has started. It is going round and round. And the biggest moving piece was Lane Kiffin leaving the 11-1 best record in school history for a season. Ole Miss Rebels, who are going to be in the playoff, to go to LSU, who's not in the playoff, of course.
Yeah, it's the college football carousel is so much different than anything else. Because you have these schools leaving other schools while playoffs, before even playoffs happen. So now Ole Miss is not allowing Lane Kiffin to coach in the
game. As they shouldn't.
As they shouldn't. I completely agree with you. It would have been, I know it's a really good, obviously a really good job. I would have had a real, real hard time giving up a chance to take Ole Miss and coach in the national, or not national championship game, but in the playoff after taking over a program that was dying and building them back up, go 11-1. I would have had a real hard time not being loyal to Ole Miss there. But that's kind of what Lane Kiffin does, honestly. He burns bridges and he destroys bridges, I should say. Shouldn't he? He doesn't just burn them, he destroys them. So
money talks. I mean, he's getting a big, big money contract. I think 7 years, upward $90-some million deal LSU, who just bought out Brian Kelly, $54 million. But and Lane Kiffin's a good coach, good offensive mind. Don't get me wrong, but you're paying for a guy who's never won a national title.
Yep.
Never been to a national title game as a head coach. Has burnt bridges, like you said, wherever he's been. Hasn't proven he's loyal whatsoever. Always looking for the next job. Say 4 years goes by, J-Man, and he hadn't got to a title or won a title. He's still there?
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
It's a what have you done for me right away sort of thing in college football anymore. And the funny thing, as you said, LSU is paying Brian Kelly's buyout. They still have one more payment to make to Ed Orgeron, too, on December 15th. Yep. But, I mean, you just look at his track record. I mean, obviously, the whole, you know, tarmac thing where he left. And then USC
got fired.
He got fired on the tarmac. And then USC was, a disaster. Tennessee, disaster.
Well, he left Tennessee after a year to go to USC.
Yeah.
USC got fired. The Raiders was a disaster.
I always forget the Raiders.
Left the Raiders or got fired maybe and then went to Tennessee.
Yeah. And then remember when he took the Florida Atlantic job? I mean, he was offensive coordinator, wasn't he, for Alabama?
Yeah, but remember, and Saban didn't let him coach the national championship.
Did not let him coach in the national title game. So he's burned a lot of bridges over the years, and he has a very poor reputation at this point. Good football coach. I mean, what he did at Florida Atlantic was incredible, but then going to Ole Miss after, you know, the Hugh Freeze scandal and all that. There have been rumors coming out, not rumors, but like stories coming out of how horrible he treated players. Luke Altmyer was one of them, who ended up at Illinois, obviously. It was between him and Jackson Dart for that starting job, and Dart ended up winning it, but then Lane just kind of pushed Altmyer aside, and he ends up going to Illinois and having a really good career. But he just doesn't seem like a very good man, honestly.
Yeah, and he said a thing to Marty Smith. Well, shout out to Marty Smith. That poor guy had to be on there for hours and hours and hours trying to give an update on no update, no situation to update at the time. And he told Marty Smith, I really wanted to stay, but after talking with Coach Saban, Coach Carroll, they told me I had to go or something like that. Uh-huh. I'm like, well, whatever. Pete Carroll supposedly told him, your father would want you to go and take a chance.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So
that's pulling on the heartstrings.
I'm going to be rooting against them. I'm going to be rooting against LSU. He has become the face for, like, the villain face of college football, I would say.
Yeah.
Fair or unfair, so.
Yeah, 100% at this point. I mean, I think it probably was Brian Kelly, honestly.
It was, yeah.
And so,
I don't think he's going to be coaching this upcoming year.
Why would you?
Yeah.
If you're getting that big of a buyout, I wouldn't.
Some of them can't let it go.
James Franklin, for one, which James Franklin's close to signing the best recruiting class Virginia Tech's had.
Yeah, he's 20 years. A lot of commits already.
Yeah. So again, very good fit.
Yep.
But yeah, Lane to LSU, and then some more big news, Big Ten wise. Michigan State fired Jonathan Smith, and are hiring Pat Fitzgerald, which I think is a fantastic fit there.
Yeah, he's gonna want to take it to Northwestern for sure.
Definitely.
So I figured he'd get back into the game. It was just a matter of who was gonna take the chance on him. A lot of interesting movement. Sumrall from Tulane going to Florida. Silverfield going from Memphis to Arkansas. Rumor has it Penn State might be targeting BYU's coach.
Yeah.
Which would be an interesting fit.
Again, another potential playoff team, too.
Yes, 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 as long as they beat Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. I don't think the loser of that game gets in.
I agree.
Playoff. What other jobs? California's open unless they just give it to their interim, which they went 7-5, and their job's open. I can't figure that one out.
UCLA's hiring James Madison's head coach, and I think that might be the best fit or the best hire overall in the whole carousel so far.
Yep. It'd be interesting to see how the next guy at JMU does. It's kind of a factory right now. Oregon State hired Jamarcus Shepherd, who used to be wide receiver coach at Purdue under Jeff Brohm and has been the, I think he was the OC at Alabama, or if not the OC, he was a position coach at Alabama or helped run the offense. So he's getting his first head coaching gig at Oregon State. Trying to think what other
Auburn
jobs.
And Alex Golesh.
Yep. Yep. Kentucky's open. Mark Stoops has been fired, which I think that was time, even though they owe him $33 million.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see the domino effect quite like we thought we were going to, but still an interesting one so far.
And especially since Ole Miss is just promoting their defensive coordinator.
Right.
That kind of stops a little bit of some of that. So
now some of it could open back up if anybody jumps to the NFL here in a couple weeks. But college football, my big problem with college football right now is the timing of everything. So they push back. The portal now doesn't open up till January, which I'm fine with. But guys can still leave or announce their intentions to get in the portal. We'll be seeing a bunch of that here next coming weeks. But just like you mentioned, the fact that Lane Kiffin can leave a team high and dry going into the playoffs, that shouldn't be able to happen. I don't know how you stop that. But then this portal window, okay, so the portal opens. What happens to their – they're supposed to be student athletes.
Yeah.
Classes start in January.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to step in, even if it's like Congress, and figure all this out. It's just a mess.
Yeah, and it seems like it keeps getting worse too. They're pretty much professional athletes at this point, honestly. Who knows if these guys even go to class anymore.
The sad thing is most of them aren't going to play professionally.
I know.
I mean, you know, Robbie Hummel was talking about this on a podcast. He said there's going to be stories written about this era of college athletics, sad stories about guys who make a lot of money in NIL. And he was talking about basketball guys specifically, and say guys might even be good enough to play in the league 3, 4, 5 years, but that's not enough to sustain it if you're not smart with your money. Yeah. Burn through all their money, have no degree to fall back on because they played at 2, 3, 4 different schools.
Yeah. It's there's the 30 for 30 documentary is going to be fantastic in about 10 years.
Yep. I mean, good for these guys getting what they can money wise, but I personally still think it's important to get your degree unless you're guaranteed to go pro and be a high pick and get a lot of guaranteed money.
Definitely.
So yeah, college athletics, it's just wild, man. It's just wild. And another thing I want to point out, which I'm kind of for the chaos, but yeah, it's like, what are we doing here type of thing. You look at the ACC conference championship, the ACC conference championship game. You got Virginia. Good story. Very good story. Tony Elliott's done an amazing job there against a 7-5 Duke team because four of the five losses were non-conference losses. What are we doing?
Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, you got to win your conference, got to win in conference. So the winner of that will be in the playoff, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Duke could win, be 8-5 again in the playoff.
Get in the playoff.
And some other really good teams who have 2 losses, in some case 3 losses, are going to be on the outside looking in.
There's no good real solution, though, because I think the top 4 leagues should get probably an automatic.
I agree.
If you win your conference title game.
I agree with that.
But if, say, they go away with that, it'd be real hard not to put, you know, an ACC team in there regardless.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, in all honestly, a lot of it comes with the TV contracts. It's sad to say that, but a lot of it has to do with that. You're going to always have an ACC team on it. Even Virginia, what was Virginia's record this year? Were they 9-3 or are they 10-2?
10-2 because sadly, Purdue is now the only school since 2000, Power 4 school, to not have a 10-win season.
Nice.
Yeah. Very nice. We just keep adding to misery.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
And then of course, ESPN chose to go to Alabama, Georgia for game day instead of number 1 versus number 2. Sure. And again, that ties into the TV thing, which it makes sense. I mean, they don't want to go to another network's, you know, game, essentially. Yeah. And I saw a lot of people complaining about that, but anyway, I don't know what the solution is. We've talked about it for 4 years now, it feels like.
And here's another interesting one to bring up to you. The committee's going to have an interesting decision to make. You got 10-2 Miami, who didn't win their conference, but they're 10-2. You got 10-2 Notre Dame, who's not in a conference.
Yeah.
They played head to head, you know, but it was week 1. Miami won a close game. If you're making a bid for one of those two teams, if you're on the committee, who are you taking and why?
You look at Miami's losses. Notre Dame's losses were against Texas A&M, which will be in the playoff.
Sure.
And then Miami. Sure. And they were the first 2 weeks of the year. Miami's losses were to Louisville at home, who just flatlined. And then who was the other one? Who's Miami's other loss? Let's see here. I'm going to go look it up real quick.
I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head.
I know. I can't think of it either. And I follow my Canes. Remember my Canes?
Yeah, your Canes.
That I clearly don't know much about. Let's see. Their other loss was at SMU. I forgot about that one. SMU's okay. They were 8-4.
They choked against California the other night. They won. They would have been at Duke.
They would have been. I'm taking Notre Dame. I mean, they've won 10 in a row. The eye test is there too. They're just bludgeoning teams, which Miami didn't really have the eye test either.
I agree with the eye test, but does that set a precedence going forward that head-to-head matchups, especially early in the season, don't really matter?
Probably. It probably does.
So why should Miami, even though they're probably contractually obligated because they're a part of the ACC, why should they play Notre Dame anymore? Why should USC play Notre Dame anymore?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I know we talk about Indiana scheduling, but there is zero benefit to scheduling non-cupcakes in the non-conference. There's zero benefit.
Well, I think the conferences need to step in and say you have to play one Power Four school. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you can play two, whatever, you know?
Yeah. And most teams do play another Power Four, but there's no benefit to it, honestly, because if you lose it, you're screwed. You win it, who cares?
Well, I think eventually they're going to have to come out with a criteria for these playoffs, and strength of schedule is going to be one of them.
Yeah.
And I think if you know what I'm saying is like in USC is there's talks of that game with Notre Dame not happening anymore.
Yeah.
And because, like I said, if USC played somebody else instead of Notre Dame, they're probably in the playoff or right in the mix. And they're 10-2 instead of 9-3. But if all that happens and people are like, yeah, why should we play Notre Dame? Notre Dame's going to be backed into the corner and have to join a conference.
Exactly. That is the good that could come out of this, honestly.
Yep.
It's fun to, you know, play them and get to play on NBC and, you know, kind of have a home and home with them every single year, but there's really no benefit, especially if that head to head's not going to matter that much in Miami's case, that is.
And going back to Indiana's case, you know, if you're going to be a back-to-back playoff team and legit number two team in the country, I mean, wouldn't you want to, even though you said there's no benefit, wouldn't you want to test yourself a little bit against somebody early on? Like, I think that series with Virginia, especially where Virginia is now, was going to be a really good home and home, and they bought them out.
Louisville too, right? Weren't they supposed to play?
Cincinnati bought them out last year, right when he got there. And then Virginia was supposed to start next year. So, and they made the decision this year in 2025 to buy them out.
Yeah. Well, we said that about Indiana this year and it hasn't mattered. They didn't test themselves at all. And then they're killing teams.
Right.
That's Penn State. They've just killed teams.
Iowa
hung in there. But I mean, you look 63-10 against Illinois, 56-3 Purdue.
Oh, that's Purdue. I mean,
UCLA killed them. Wisconsin killed them. Now, Illinois is probably the only really good team.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And they're not really good. They're a good solid.
Which isn't Indiana's fault because you got to play who you got on your schedule, which
in
their Big Ten schedule next year is Michigan, Ohio State, USC, Washington. They got some bigger.
They also handled Oregon very easily and Autzen too. So that kind of balances that out. But still, I mean, the same can kind of be said about Ohio State. I know they played Texas week one, but you look at their Big Ten schedule, it wasn't that difficult. They played Penn State, which coming into the year looked like, oh, that's an incredible matchup. They 6-6 at Michigan. Okay. That's a good win.
At Washington.
At Washington's a good win as well. But other than that, and they played Rutgers, I think, didn't they? They played Rutgers, Illinois. Mm-hmm. At Illinois.
And Illinois was ranked at the time.
They were. I still don't think they're very good, but that's just me. But yeah, it's and I applaud Ohio State for playing the Texas week one.
Yeah.
Because they
and applaud Texas for doing it too.
Yeah. And because Ohio State typically does that. They typically challenge themselves. But yeah, I think a loss in the first couple weeks to a non-con opponent isn't that big of a deal anymore.
Yeah. It's why I said, these are conversations that are going to be had more and more in the future. Mm. People are going to be mad come Sunday night when their team's left out.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally do think Notre Dame deserves to get in over Miami, but I can see Miami having a case.
For sure.
You know, like, hey, even though we play in week one, we beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Losing to SMU and Louisville, though, especially Louisville at home, where Carson Beck threw four picks, that's the game they have to look back on and say, hey, what could have been? It's not their fault the ACC stinks.
No.
Like, it's not, unless they want to leave, which I don't know if they do or not.
I haven't heard anything.
I haven't either. It's not their fault Florida – they played Florida State this year.
Yeah, they beat them.
It's not their fault Florida State ended up stinking.
Yeah.
Man, after starting week one, though, when they beat Alabama and shot up to number 9.
And they're running it back with Norvell, and Florida whooped them this week.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that's pretty ugly.
Yep.
Texas is the team that should 100% be left out, but I think they get in. Three losses. Ooh, they have
I don't think they get in.
You don't think they get in? I hope not. They did just beat Texas A&M, so they have that fresh in the committee's mind.
Yeah,
I 100% don't think they deserve to get in, but the fact that they're in the SEC, they have a loss to 4-8 Florida.
Yeah,
and they should not get in.
Well, let's go real quick through the 12 teams we think will make it. Ohio State, Indiana, both in.
Oregon's
in, so there's three right there.
Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah, I think Alabama's in no matter if they lose to Georgia. That's five.
Ole Miss,
that's six. You got your A&M.
A&M, there's seven.
Your ACC winner.
Yep.
So there's eight.
Virginia. Notre Dame
winner.
So, okay, there's 10, if you include Notre Dame. And then that leaves.
You got your because don't they have to have – doesn't Notre Dame not count for the smaller schools? Because Tulane is probably going to be in.
Tulane or James Madison.
Or James Madison
went 11-1.
That's 11.
And so one more at-large then?
Yeah, unless – are we forgetting somebody obvious?
Big Ten, we got Oregon, Ohio State.
No, yeah, Big Ten aren't getting four in.
No. No, Michigan doesn't get in. I think unless they put Miami in, I think ACC's a one and done.
Yeah.
One and only one.
Unless Big 12 gets two in.
Oh, Vanderbilt.
Mm.
They'll get in. Should get in, probably. Yeah.
Interesting. Yep.
Still don't think about Vanderbilt.
No, I don't either.
And I can't stand their quarterback or his family at this point.
Yep. He's going to probably try to come back for an eighth year.
Yep.
So
get a job, man.
Yep. Get a LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
Let's go around conference championships. Pick some winners. Here's the one we forgot, Josh. My dad just said Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. They get in.
Yeah. So Vanderbilt probably doesn't get in.
Hey, probably not.
Well, I wouldn't want to be on this committee.
I wouldn't either. Vanderbilt probably deserves to get in.
Yeah. Thank you, Dad. I knew we were forgetting somebody.
Yeah, I forgot about Oklahoma. They'll definitely get in. They're good.
We got the Mountain West Championship, 10-2 UNLV against at 8-4 Boise State. And Boise State's 3.5-point favorite.
Give me Boise State on the blue turf.
Yep.
Assuming that's where they're playing.
Boise State at home. Number 20, North Texas, which their coach is leaving to go to Oklahoma State. 11-1.
Very good hire.
At 21, Tulane, who's 10-2. Coach is leaving. And Tulane is North Texas, 2.5-point favorite.
Are they letting them coach the games?
Tulane is. I don't know about North
good
Texas.
Good for them.
But Tulane is. They worked it out.
Good for them. Give me Tulane.
Yep. I like Tulane as well, especially if Morris doesn't coach North Texas. I don't know if he is or not. We'll skip the MAC, which is Miami, Ohio, and Western Michigan, if anybody cared.
What did Western Michigan's record end up being?
8-4, and Miami, Ohio is 7-5.
All right.
Number 11, BYU, 11-1 against number 5, Texas Tech, 11-1. Tech is a 12.5-point favorite.
Give me Texas Tech. I think they get in Dallas, too. You'd think they'd have a pretty good home field advantage there.
I agree with you. Number 3, Georgia, 2.5-point favorite over number 10, Alabama. We thought we might get an interesting SEC matchup this year. Ho-hum, same old.
Yeah. If Alabama loses, though, I think they sweat a little bit.
You sure?
I think so. Give me Georgia, and I hope so.
Yep. Go Dogs. Number 2, Indiana. Number 1, Ohio State. Ohio State is a 4.5-point favorite.
This will be the J-Man.
I had a feeling that was coming.
Book it prediction of the week. Give me Indiana.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they get it done. I think they've proven this year that last year wasn't a fluke for one. And they've just been bludgeoning. That's my word of the night, bludgeoning opponents this year, where Ohio State really hasn't. I mean, they win comfortably. But I wouldn't say
they people too.
They do. So load management probably plays a role. But J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact us at 219-869-4561. Book it!
I'm taking OSU by 2 touchdowns in that game. Mm.
You hope.
I really don't care at this point anymore. I just don't want them to win a national title. I could care less if they win the Big Ten. And that game might be for the Heisman. I mean, I will say if you can not look so good while beating your rival by 100, Mendoza didn't look the greatest against Purdue, but no. He didn't need to. They ran all over Purdue. So.
Tough conditions, though. It was cold. Yeah.
Yes, it was very cold. Coldest temperature in Ross State Stadium history for a game, they said. Even though I feel
really?
Like I feel like I've been to colder like with the wind, but the actual temperature, it was 25 at kickoff.
I wonder what it was that IU-Purdue game we went to back in 2008. That was probably pretty close. I'd imagine that was cold.
And ACC, Virginia, who's ranked 16th in a 10-2 record, only 3.5-point favorites over Duke.
Give me Duke. I believe this is this game in Charlotte. That's why I'm picking Duke.
Yeah.
Just give me chaos. Give me Duke in the playoff.
I will take Virginia. 3 or 4 years ago, they were the doormat.
Yeah.
Of the Power Four.
So was Duke.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Duke had Cutcliffe.
Cutcliffe had him pretty years good, but...
and Danny Dimes. But yeah. Give me Virginia. But there's gonna be some interesting games. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to get into my blind rankings for you.
All right.
It doesn't even have anything to do with sports. Beautiful. But what's a food you like to watch, like to eat while you're watching sports sometimes?
Oh, man.
It's not, this isn't a snack. Well, it could be for some people, but this is more what people have for dinner on weekends a lot of times.
I would say like pizza is kind of
pizza.
All right.
And you – or what I would consider all of a sudden a pizza snob.
Yeah. I mean, bad pizza is still pretty dang good, as I like to say. But yes, living in the Chicago land, my taste buds have changed at the risk of sounding like a D-bag.
So, you always sound like one of those. So what I have done, I got 5 national pizza chains.
All right.
Well, chains. Chains, not 5 chains, and I want you to rank them.
All right,
5 by how you like them.
I'm ready.
Starting with Papa John's.
Oh man, my wife had a pregnancy craving for the Papa John's garlic sauce back 2 years ago now, and so we got it, and it was terrible. It had gone downhill so much. I'm gonna put it at the 4 slot.
4
to start off, yeah.
I like their sauce. They got a sweet sauce. I like their sauce. I like the breadsticks. But the problem with our Papa John's, the one we get it from once occasionally, takes forever to get it.
You know, growing up in Rochester, Indiana, with fewer pizza places, Papa John's was living back in the day.
Yeah, it was like a treat, you know? Right?
It absolutely was. We had one. I think the closest one was Plymouth, and we'd get it every once in a while. Like, this is some dang good stuff. Now that we both live in much bigger areas now, we've come to realize that kind of stinks.
I still get it once in a while. But like I said, I know when I get it, it's going to take forever to get it. So Little Caesars.
Oh, man. I haven't had Little Caesars probably since New Year's Eve 2011. Yeah,
I like myself hot and ready. To this day, I like myself hot and ready.
I don't mind Little Caesars. I like the crazy bread, but I'm going to stick to just the pizza part of it.
All right, that's fair.
I'm going to put it at 5.
All right. I mean, it is what it is. It's a portable pizza.
Yep.
You can get a large hot and ready for under $10. I mean, it used to be 5, but now it's under $10. But you better eat the day of. Is the worst leftover. But that's one pizza my wife doesn't like. So if I'm by myself and I'm craving pizza, once in a while I'll go get a crazy bread hot and ready and call it a night. So little neighborhood joint called Domino's.
Domino's. Oh yeah.
This is one I haven't had in a while because they won't deliver to me.
I like Domino's. I haven't had it in a minute either. But I'm gonna put that at 2. I like Domino's. I used to get it all the time when I lived in Iowa. I think it was connected to a gas station, and it was quick and easy.
Yep. The Hut. Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. I had Pizza Hut over the weekend, and I was thoroughly unimpressed.
That's why I did this whole late ranking.
I figured that's why you did it. I did get wings with it, which were pretty good, and their breadsticks are
out. I like their wings. Yeah.
I got a Meat Lover's Za. Got real lucky.
What kind of crust we get?
Just the traditional hand toss.
The hand toss?
Yeah.
I like going pan if I can.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was hand toss. Yeah. I don't remember.
Hand toss is like their, if you don't pick, that's their normal.
Megan ordered it And she got like, it was like two medium pizzas, some wings and breadsticks for like $36.
That's a pretty good deal.
It was a good deal. We got lucky though, because we were in a snowstorm and we ordered it. And I pull up to that drive-thru, and again, we're 3 hours from home. And on the window, it says, due to the snowstorm, we're closing at 6:30. And I look at my clock, and it's 6:32.
Like, you're one of those guys.
We had no idea. Luckily, they're still there, and they gave them the pizza. I'm going to put it at 3. I'm scared of what you have left on the list, but I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm trying to think of other chain pizza joints in my head that it could possibly be.
I think you're going to be glad you saved one for last, because Monocles.
Oh yeah, that's definitely one. I was just my wife loves Monocles too. We have one about 25 minutes away, and I was thinking, man, if only we could get a Monocles built in our neighborhood, I'd eat that.
I haven't had it since my bachelor party, I don't think.
So. Yeah. Oh man, that was good too. Yeah. That's also one I do not like as much the next day, which no pizza's as good the next day.
Right.
But Monocles, I don't think it heats up very well. But I'll smash Monocles pizza and some sticks. Re-ranking, why? You know what? I think I'm very happy with my list.
I think you have a pretty good list.
I might flop the Johns in the Hut.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm okay with very okay with my list.
One other I thought about throwing in there, but I didn't know. My wife and I are arguing, like, I don't know how big of a chain it is. We just got it last night because it's close to us and we like it. Marco's.
I don't think I've ever had Marco's.
Thank you. She was arguing me. I swear, I bet he has. I'm like, I don't think he has.
I'm like, well, you might have ordered it for that party you had at your house a couple years
Pizza
ago.
Pizza King, I think. We did Pizza
King. No, you couldn't get Pizza King.
Oh, so we might have done Marco's.
I think it was Marco's.
Okay.
Now that I think about it, but
we got hot honey pizza from there last
night. Oh, I love hot honey pepperoni pizza.
Thad Mooney on Facebook. Josh was that guy rolling up at close. Thanks for the Wendy's flashback and PTSD, Jamie.
He probably remembers me rolling through there right around close, ordering a number 4 large Coke, large fry.
Thad was the best.
He was
Wendy's because I'd go and I'd usually get spicy chicken, get home, open up. I also have a 10-piece nugget in there, and he texts me, "You're welcome." Marco's is a chain. That says they have them way out west. I knew it was a chain. I just didn't know how their scope, I guess. So.
Yeah. I haven't seen them in the Chicagoland. In fact, I've only ever seen them in Indiana.
Yeah, we got hot honey and some breadsticks last night, and I ordered it like at 6. And right after orders, estimated time 90 minutes. Oh my gosh. But I think nobody was getting out last night in the weather. So everybody was ordering pizza. So, but I made sure to tip the delivery driver pretty well because I was appreciative of them coming because I was out for over an hour shoveling yesterday. So,
the worst.
But a company that is not the worst, and that's who sponsors the blind ranking segments like they have every week in 2025 and the last few years, is Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. You need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weisberg a call at 574-210-3815. All right. You want to talk a little college hoops real quick before we get an NFL? And we also have On This Day too as well. Once again, I am just being a bad college basketball fan right now. Yeah. Outside of Purdue, I have watched very little.
Yeah, outside of Illinois, I've watched like none at all. I've checked scores every once in a while.
But, seen some highlights, maybe a minute or two here and there. But
yeah, but I haven't really turned much college basketball on, to be honest. Yeah.
Purdue had a boring week, played Eastern Illinois, killed them like they should.
Yeah.
Start Big Ten play tomorrow night at Rutgers.
That's crazy.
Yippee. This is the game Purdue always loses. It's to Northwestern, to Nebraska. It's to Rutgers. It's to Penn State. I'm not too nervous this year about it. And then a big home game at noon on CBS Saturday against Iowa State. So, which would be a good one.
So you only do you have another Big Ten game next week then?
Yeah, Minnesota at home. So start off with arguably the bottom two. The
two worst teams.
Well, I heard the reason the Big Ten does this with a lot of their top teams. They don't want marquee games exactly. in December. They want them.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So who's probably, Illinois got?
Nebraska and Ohio yeah. State.
Ohio State's a decent one.
Yeah, it's at Ohio State. But yeah, it's not like they're not ever, I don't think, going to play a Purdue or Michigan State or Michigan that early. Nowadays, like 5-6 years ago, they did. But,
sure.
Because they were at the bottom, but not really anymore. But it was kind of a boring-ish week for Illinois. They played like absolute garbage against Texas Rio Grande Valley.
I didn't even realize they were playing, so we got off for that night. So we got done with the podcast. I'm like, "Ooh, J-Man can't be too happy. They're keeping it close."
Yeah, which is interesting. That's the second time Illinois played UTRGV or whatever they are. And the first time was the year they won the Big Ten back. It would have been November 2021. Same week, no students, crowds dead, and UTGRV or whatever. I think the final score was 93-85 or something. So they keep it close. They play a different style of basketball, which I'm sure. happy for them to see them. See something different. And then, lost a tough one to UConn on Friday, which I had very, very little expectation.
That court design was hideous.
It was ugly. It was, it was a stupid play or the mid-season tourney thing or whatever. It was 90% UConn fans at Madison Square Garden, as you could expect. But I was happy with some things they did. Got down 21, and then they cut it to 7. With 4 minutes left, and then got screwed by the officials. I would have loved the ball down 7 with four some change. It wouldn't have really probably changed anything. But it's a huge week for them because they don't play until Saturday. So they get 8 days off. Everyone's healthy now. Tommy Avisic has looked bad since he came back, but he started to show some signs in the second half of kind of breaking out of it, and he looked healthy. So this is the longest stretch of practice that they will have had all year with all the injuries they've had, with Stojakovic having his knee issue and not practicing at all until November. Petrovic being out, all that time. Brandon Lee being out all that time. Avisic being out a couple games. So this is a good week to get healthy. Underwood, I know, has even said like he's having a hard time figuring out his rotation right now just because they haven't been able to practice all together. So really this week off has come at the perfect time, and they have, Tennessee in Nashville on Saturday. So it's not going to get any easier. They only have one bye game left, which is I'm grateful for, because by this time the bye games get boring. You're winning big. You're not really learning much about your team. So I like tough matchups coming hot and heavy.
Got some breaking news. College, another job has been filled. Kentucky's hiring Oregon offense coordinator Will Stein. I'm not sure.
I saw that was probably going to happen. He played quarterback at Louisville, so he's from Kentucky.
Yep.
Seems like a very good fit, and I'm sure they had that pretty much lined up before they even fired Stoops.
Sure.
So,
Big Ten basketball games this week: Purdue at Rutgers tomorrow night, Iowa at Michigan State tomorrow night, USC at Oregon tomorrow night.
Michigan State looks fantastic again. They killed North Carolina. It'll be interesting to see Iowa against this level of opponent. They really haven't played anyone yet. Obviously they have a different style they've played in years past, so it'll be kind of fun to see how Iowa does in that environment.
Wednesday night, Indiana at Minnesota, Northwestern at Wisconsin, UCLA at Washington. And then Saturday, we got a mix of big-time non-conference games and conference games. Iowa State-Purdue, that's a top-10 matchup. Duke-Michigan State, that's a top-10 matchup. Marquette-Wisconsin. Louisville-Indiana, that's a top-25 matchup. Ohio State-Northwestern. Rutgers-Michigan-Maryland, Iowa. Washington-USC, Oregon-UCLA, and a top-15 matchup in Illinois and Tennessee.
Yeah, it's
that's a good day of basketball.
Very good day of basketball. Very, very good day.
And conference championships for college football. That's going to be a good day.
Good sports day. Them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So any other final thoughts, college hoops?
No. I've reached a very good place when it comes to non-conference losses that they don't affect me. And that a lot of it has to do with how deep the Big Ten is. And a lot of it has to do with Illinois being good the past 6 years.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, you lose to a top-5 UConn at Madison Square Garden, who cares? It doesn't mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things.
Here's a crazy one for you. Now that November is over, Trey Kaufman, Ren, Braden Smith, Flesh Lawyer lost one game in November in their career.
Who was it too?
At Marquette last year. At Marquette last year.
That's an insane stat.
Honestly, they lost in December last year. They dropped.
Yeah, Auburn, I remember, and A&M, right?
Yes, and
at Auburn and A&M in Indianapolis.
That might have been that. Oh, and then we lost conference game to Penn State.
Oh yeah,
that's conference.
I didn't think Purdue would get better after Edie left, which it's hard to say they did because they went to a national title. So unless they do it again this year, but Painter knows what he's doing. In those, I'm sure there's still some idiots out there if Purdue plays bad that want Painter gone because again they're idiots. But
yeah, a lot of times I just think they're IU trolls on the message boards at this probably point, so
probably yeah. Do you want to get educated?
I need it badly.
On this day in 1653, an athlete from Croydon is reported to have run 20 miles from St. Albans to London in less than 90 minutes. I don't believe them.
How long would it take you to run 20 miles?
4 days. There's no way. There's no way I'm running them. You kidding me? It'd take me less than a day, honestly.
Let's say you legit had to run. You could run and stop, take a break, but then every time you moved, you had to run. How long would it take you?
I'd die by the 3/4 mile mark. my heart would explode, man. I was out there last night snow blowing. And yeah. I thought I was going to have a massive coronary.
I'm pretty darn sore from shoveling yesterday. It's pretty embarrassing. Yeah. It took me a while.
I was gone, and so it just froze underneath, and so doing the snow blow was pointless, and I had to shovel anyway. On this day in 1928, National League President John Heidler first to propose a baseball rule change calling for a 10th man or a designated hitter to bat in place of the pitcher. Ironically, the NL vote in favor of proposal, but the American League turned it down.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it ends up flipping back in the 70s. On this day in a lot of Grey Cups.
That time of year.
On this day in 1951, who won the Heisman Trophy?
Dick. Give me the school.
Princeton. Dick Kazmaier is his name. I'd never heard of him.
Never heard of him. Princeton. Nope.
On this day in some MVPs in the baseball. A lot of 1956. There's like 10 of them on 1950. Oh, there's more than 10. Billy Cannon won the 1959 Heisman Trophy.
Where did he play at?
LSU.
Oh.
That makes more sense than Princeton.
Yeah. Both Tigers, though.
Yeah. On this day in 1971, the Chicago Cubs released longtime star and future Hall of Famer Ernie Banks, ending his 19-year MLB career. They announced Banks will serve as a coach on manager Leo DeRocher's staff.
So he didn't go play anywhere else?
Nope.
Oh.
Billy Williams did, though. He was with the Athletics for 2 years after he... On this day in... There's a lot more on this day than previous weeks.
Yeah, there is. Well,
1980, George Rogers won the Heisman. Out of?
I don't know.
South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
On this day in 1984, who won the 50th Heisman Trophy?
84? Is that Herschel Walker?
Good guess, Doug Flutie.
Ah, I'm better in the 90s and 2000s. 80s, I get tripped up a little bit.
Yeah, 80s are tough. On this day in 1990, who won the Heisman?
Oh, great. As I say that, where was 89? I think. Was Tim Brown?
Ty Detmer.
Brown was 88.
Yeah, he was 88.
Idiot. Ty Detmer from, is that Tulane?
BYU.
I'm an idiot. Who am I thinking about Tulane? I don't know.
1991, Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino set an NFL record when he reached 3,000 yards passing for the eighth time in his career.
I still can't believe that guy played one Super Bowl. I was just talking about that the other day.
Pretty sad, honestly. I don't like to think about it.
Yeah.
On this day in... Come on, give me something good. Give me something good. We're running out of good options here. I'm in 2014. I think that's going to do it for On This Day this week.
And that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Moody Wood and Laser Crafts. Moody Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to the home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed broad projects by visiting them at Moody Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. Brand new Facebook page. Redid it. Go check them out. And you can also check them out online at moodywoodlasercrafts.com. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first order. Cyber Monday, go on Mooney Wood Laser Crafts, order yourself a tumbler. Can't go no wrong. So.
Three winners, three losers. Who's your first winner?
My first winner. I'm trying to remember who the heck won games this week. Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any more Bryce Young slander on this podcast.
I don't think he's very good.
I think he's pretty good. So I think that the reason nobody thought he was good is because CJ Stroud looked so good his rookie year over Fair. Bryce Young. Panthers are a tough team to figure out.
They are.
Killed by the Bills. And they beat the Rams when nobody thought they'd win. And now they're right in the thick of things for the South with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, right when I crown the Rams best team in football, they go and do something like this. Chicago Bears are my first winner. I believe, and I am starting to not have any belief in the Philadelphia Eagles at this point, but a very good win for the Bears. They handled them
easily. Yep. Big game for the Bears this week at Green Bay. Who is my second winner? Green Bay 31-24 win over Detroit on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Right now, Detroit would be out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Second winner, Dallas Cowboys, winning 31-28 over the Kansas City Chiefs. Cowboys right back in it as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of big games this week. My third winner, there's a lot of upsets this week. Houston Texans. I think they were gifted by the officials. Don't get me wrong, but they are right back in it. In the South, their defense is nasty. CJ Stroud looks pretty good in his return yesterday. I mean, if I'm a Colt fan, I'm sweat. Well, Colts are not winning in the South right now. It's the Jaguars.
Yeah.
So, and now they travel to Jacksonville this week to where they have not won since Andrew Luck was their quarterback.
Yeah.
So, Houston Texans, like I said, maybe gifted a little bit by the refs, but they got it done on the road.
My final winner, San Francisco 49ers. Feels like no one's talking about them yet. They sit there at 9-4. That's a heck of a division.
And they're getting healthy.
Yep. They're getting healthy.
Watch out. First loser, you can start us off.
You talked about the Jags. I'm going to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. They're in danger of missing the playoffs completely.
Yeah, they are. Their schedule's tough now.
It's tough. Houston keeps winning games. CJ Stroud, I know, came back. Jacksonville keeps winning games. Massive, massive game for the Colts this weekend.
Yep.
Massive.
Well, Colts are, if you can find a way, easier said than done, find a way to stop Jonathan Taylor, Daniel Jones, and I mean, I don't know how the dude's playing with a fractured fibula, but he is. He can't move now as much. That hurts his game. You really make the Colts become one-dimensional, and it's tough for them.
The past few weeks, he started to look like Daniel Jones again.
Well, especially now that he can't move.
Yeah.
I mean – I'm afraid he's going to get hurt worse.
Yeah.
So their defense is keeping them in there, though. But my first loser, we're going to go with the NFL officials. I thought they had a bad day yesterday across the board. Even the Broncos Commanders, I thought there was calls both ways that shouldn't have been called or should have been called. The Colts Texans game, pretty bad. It just, there's a lot of times they're bringing in these experts, these officiating experts, and what they're saying. Then the officials go with the opposite. So I don't know.
Yeah, even the Dolphins Saints game on the onside kick was another bad one that almost cost the Dolphins a game, which probably would have been for the best if they would have lost that one.
This is, you guys are gonna get right in the teens for our draft pick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they do. Start out 2-7.
McDaniel's gonna be back.
Yep. Everything's purgatory. Purgatory. Detroit Lions, my second loser. Obviously losing at home. Should have lost last week to the Giants. Bears win again. Yeah, that window might be closed for Detroit.
What's Dan going to learn to take the points?
He's an idiot. He is an idiot.
My second loser, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Right now they'd be in the playoffs. They'd win the North, but 6-6. Lamar doesn't look like himself. I think he's playing hurt still. They don't look like the Ravens.
Yeah. Now that Joe Burrow's back, well, look out for the Bengals.
Yeah, I know.
They're right there. I mean,
they're scary.
Yeah. And that brings me to my, my last losers, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rodgers gets hurt, and then they just fold in the second half. They're 6-6. Baltimore 6-6. Bengals 4-8.
Fire Tomlin chants going on in the crowd.
It might be time for a change of scenery for both guys.
A friend of the show, Sean Shriver, is a big Steeler fan. He said he don't want to see a split because he goes, who would they go out and get that's better?
Yeah, probably no one, honestly. Yeah. But so. I don't know if his shtick's kind of getting old there, too. I mean, they won one Super Bowl, and it was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, 08. So my last loser, I know they are playing the backup quarterback who was a third stringer starting year. Minnesota Vikings. They stink.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, they are bad.
They're real bad.
All right. What week are we in, 14?
Yep.
Week 14 games, starting with Thursday nighter of two teams that played on Thanksgiving, the Cowboys at the Lions.
Feels like they're going in the opposite directions, these teams. However, I think Detroit's better, and I think they win at home. Give me Detroit for 6.
I got Detroit for 9 because this was a tough week for me to put points on these games.
It really was. This is a rough one.
Yeah, but winner, I think, sitting, I don't want to say like good for the playoffs, but loser might be able to count them out.
Yeah,
maybe, so to speak. Pittsburgh Steelers at Baltimore Ravens. Big one for the North.
Neither team's playing very well. No. But I'm going to take the home team, and I believe in Lamar Jackson a lot more than whoever Pittsburgh's going to throw out there. Give me Baltimore for 9.
I got Baltimore for 8. I'm right there with you because they're at home.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks at the horrible Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, Falcons might not win another game. I say that about teams, but again, week-to-week league in the NFL.
Yes,
give me Seahawks for 7.
I got Seahawks for 11. I think they're playing really good football. Suckfest, Tennessee Titans at the Cleveland Browns.
Titans are real bad. Browns are bad, too. Give me Browns for 5, though.
I got the Browns for 4. Shadir gets a win. Yeah. Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets, who got a win yesterday.
Yeah, it's supposed to be cold. Dolphins and Tua don't play well in the cold. Give me Jets for 1.
I got the Dolphins for 7. I think they get hot. And just like you said, run it back.
Yeah.
New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Bucks for 14.
I got the Bucks for 14 as well. Saints are not good. Indianapolis Colts at Jacksonville Jaguars. Big one for both these teams.
I think the Colts buck the trend, and Colts for 4.
I got the Colts for 3. I think they do it as well. Washington Commanders at the Minnesota Vikings.
Washington for 3. I think Minnesota's bad.
I got Washington for 5. Jaden Daniels still not cleared as of today for contact. Yep. But
Mariota's pretty good.
Even if Mariota, I think the Vikings are done.
Just I do too.
Done. Cincinnati Bengals at Buffalo Bills. Big one for playoff implications.
Yeah. Bengals lose this one. They probably done. And I don't think they do win this one. Give me Bills for 10.
I got the Bills for 10 as well. I thought the Bills played pretty well yesterday against the Steelers. Denver Broncos at Las Vegas Raiders.
Give me Raiders. Give me Broncos for 11.
I was about to jump through the screen.
No shot.
I got the Broncos for 13. Raiders are not good. Geno Smith just keeps getting shots. And the Raiders got Brock Bowers good, Max Crosby good. Everything else, pretty bad.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears at Green Bay Packers. This will be a fun one.
Give me the Packers for 8.
I got the Packers for 1. I think it's going to be a pretty close game. LA Rams at Arizona Cardinals.
Rams for 13. They bounce back.
I got the Rams for 12. Sunday Night Football, big one here. Houston Texans at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Give me Chiefs for 12.
I got the Chiefs for 2. And Philadelphia Eagles at the LA Chargers Monday Night Football. I have no idea if Herbert's going to play or not.
I'm assuming Herbert does play. Give me Chargers for two.
Taking the Eagles for six. So we differ a little bit this week.
We do. It's about time.
Yep.
There are six starting quarterbacks in the NFL who are teammates with the wide receiver they were also teammates with in college. Can you name those players?
I came up with four.
All right.
Bo Nix and Troy Franklin.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith.
Yep.
Tua and Jalen Waddle.
Yep.
And Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep. You got a par.
These
two are very, very difficult, and yeah, you will likely not get them. I actually got one of these just because I'm a Miami fan.
Oh.
My Canes, I mean.
Oh. You know, I'm good with par. I know we're close to running out of time. I'm good with par this week.
Cam Ward and Xavier Restrepo, both rookies.
I couldn't even tell he played for the Titans.
And then one that I saw today that I didn't even know was Baker Mayfield and Sterling Shepard at Oklahoma.
I was trying to go through Baker wide receivers in my head. I didn't know Sterling was even on the Bucks. So.
Yeah, I didn't either until I saw it today, and I didn't realize they were teammates, but they crossed over for 1 year in 2015.
Interesting. I'm good with four.
Yeah. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.